Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to the Spirit Alive Network, your transformation station. And this is the Faith Cafe, and I'm your host, Evangelist Joyce Carpenter. So happy you tuned in on this beautiful day that the Lord has made. Praise God, for thanks be unto Him who gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if that's not good news, I don't know what is. Praise God. Regardless of whatever you've been through or whatever, you are not a victim. You are a victor because Jesus Christ has made us victorious in Him. And we have the victory. And He always causes us to triumph in whatever situation we are faced with or whatever our past has been. God always causes us to triumph. So thanks be unto Him on today, this beautiful day. Praise God. We're going to go into the throne room of prayer. Father, we just thank You and just come before You in the name, the mighty, precious, matchless name of Jesus Christ, the name that is above all names. Father, I come before You humbly, Father God. Father God, as a humble servant before You, Father God, I ask that You raise up mightily in me, that I would speak forth boldly and declare Your word boldly unto Your people, Father, in the name of Jesus, that Your word we know is sharp and powerful than any two-edged sword. Father, and we thank You that Father God, Your word will go and it will convict and it will correct, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And I ask, I decrease as You increase, Father God. And every heart is prepared to receive Your word, where Your word is received with gladness, where they will be transformed by the power of Your word. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God for the goodness of God. And the words say over in Romans that the goodness of God leadeth men unto repentance. And we know the goodness of God. God is so good. He's just so good when we were even awful to ourselves. But God was so good to us. And give Him thanks for that. Praise God. I'm going to be teaching you today on the power of prayer, intercession, and standing in the gap. So get your Bibles out, get your pen and paper. If you can't get your Bibles out, at least your pen and paper. You can write down scriptures and you can go back and study. Because again, I'm all about, and I say this from time to time, I'm all about lives being transformed by the power of God. And when you're empowered by the word of God, Satan cannot. He cannot entrap you. Once you're empowered, you have the word of God in you. And that is my heart, to impact you, to make sure that you are equipped. You're equipped with the word of God, and to impact you and empower you. That is my goal here for ministry, period. So I want to see people come into a greater walk and just be set free in all areas of their lives, because I want to see you or hear of you, or even if I don't know, I want you to come into your purpose, the purpose in which God calls you to, that you will walk in your destiny. Praise God. So let's go to our foundation scripture. Our foundation scripture is Exodus chapter 32, verse 30. But I wanted to get into, before I go to the foundation scripture, on gap, the word gap. It said standing in the gap. The Hebrew word for gap is pronounced pheretz. And what that means, it means a breach. Okay, a breach, a breaking of a law or an obligation or a standard or a moral conduct, a violation, or even trespasses. And we're going to get into teaching on a little bit later on in the study. more on standing in the gap. And this also will be a two-part study. And we know here as history of the Old Testament of the Israelites that there were a lot of breaches there. There were a lot of breaches, a lot of breaking of the law, a lot of violations. So let's look at Exodus chapter 32 and verse 30, which is our foundation scripture. Okay, and Moses here, he was an intercessor for the children of Israel, the Israelites. And it reads, "And it came to pass on the next day that Moses said unto the people, You have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord. Perhaps I shall make an atonement for your sin." Okay, so we see here, this is Moses, was ready to intercede, stand in the gap, intercede for them because of their sins. Okay, now let's go farther into the scripture. Let's look at the same chapter, Exodus 32, and we're going to begin at verse 31 through 34. And to give you a little bit of background here, the Israelites had sinned, and they were in disobedience. They involved in idol worship, and they had broken all the commandments of God. And God was just angry. He was just upset with them, and he was ready to destroy them all. And he's just ready to destroy them and just start all over fresh and anew. So let's go to Exodus 31. "And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, Whosoever hath sinned against me, him I will blot out. I will blot out the book. Therefore now go lead the people unto the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, my angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them." So God was going to destroy the Israelites. But because of Moses stood in a gap for them, he chose not to destroy them. But they were going to still have to pay for their sins. But remember, he was going to destroy the whole nation, the whole enchilada. But he chose not to. He just said, okay, they're going to pay for their sin. But because of Moses. Moses standing in the gap for them, he wanted to an atonement for them, for their sins, and he was putting God, and Moses went before God and put God in remembrance of his covenant, the covenant that he had with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which God told Abraham, you know, before Isaac was ever born, that he would have a seed, he would have a son, and how the stars, you couldn't even count how many he was going to have as far as children, you know, that come from his lineage. It was just going to be innumerable. God had made that promise to Abraham. So Moses, God's servant, reminded him of the covenant that he had with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So because of that, God spared the life of the Israelites. So because Moses was that chosen vessel that was called by God, and God honored him as him interceding for these people. And Moses continued on, led the children of Israel until the Lord called him home, called him home till he passed away, So he led them up until his time. And it's so vital that we stand in the gap and we intercede for others, our brothers, our sisters in Christ, our leaders, and not just our spiritual leaders, but our natural leaders, you know, all of those that are in authority, and we'll talk about that a little later. But we are to intercede for all, and we're to do spiritual, standing in the gap, going to God for them. And in prayer and intercession on all their behalf. Let's look at another example of intercession, how intercession impacted the life of someone. Let's go to Acts chapter 12. That's Acts chapter 12, and Acts chapter 12, verses 5. We begin at verse 5, ending with verse 8. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing by the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him, forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord came unto him, and a light shone, and in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise quickly, and his chains fell off his hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Gird thyself up, bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, Cast thy garment around thee and follow. Okay, here. So we see here, Peter was delivered because of constant prayer. Fervent prayer was made for Peter when he was put into prison. And so already to give you a little history of the beginning at the 12th chapter, around the first verse, the beginning there, Herod had killed James, the brother of John. He had killed him, he was murdered. And the people, the Jews, were real excited. And you know how that goes when somebody do something someone likes, and they have a crowd, they have an audience, you know, that edges them on, and they get even more excited to want to do, you know, to make more trouble. What happened here? After they killed James, then they decided, we're going to throw Peter in prison. So not only they just threw him in prison, they put him in prison. They were making sure that he did not escape no kind of way. They had him lying between two guards, chained up. They had guards at the door making sure he didn't escape. So it was no way in the natural that Peter could have gotten out of that prison. But because of the church praying, fervent prayer, fervent intercession, day and night for Peter. And Peter was released. The angel of the Lord came in and released Peter from prison because of prayer and intercession. And you know, this had to be miraculous. It's only done supernatural because for the chains to fall off, sleeping between two guards at the door, guarding the doors, and the angel of the Lord just led him right on out of the prison. So this is what intercession and prayer can do when we go intercede for one another. And some we don't know sometimes what situation people are in, you know, but when we realize they're in distress or whatever, even if we don't know they're in distress. We can sometimes discern something may be going on, but we are to intercede for them because we don't know what's going on, and you don't know the depth of it, you know, how in-depth it is. And it could be real serious, but we are to stand, we are to intercede, and we are to stand in the gap for one another. And not only just one another, we are to stand for people that we don't know. Because the word tells us, and we'll talk about that later. Peter was released, supernatural, escorted out, because of the power of prayer. Let's look at another passage of the power of prayer. Thinking about the scripture that says, one who chases 1,000, two, 10,000. So how powerful is that? I always say prayer, it's two is better than one. Praise God. Let's look at Matthew. Very familiar passage of scripture, Matthew 18:19-20. Okay, Matthew 18, chapter 18, verse 19. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. So when at least even just two of us come together and begin to intercede for others, God says he's not only in the midst of that prayer, but he also saying if we're touching and agreeing, which we are when we pray, and we are in agreement, we're in the power of agreement, he said that he will do it, that we can ask anything of the Father and it will be done. So the prayer of agreement is powerful as well. Pray for, we have loved ones, and I know we all have loved ones and all that don't know the Lord. And those that we have some that may have known the Lord and just chose that they don't want to serve the Lord anymore. And some are just in downright disobedience. And some may not have ever had a taste of knowing the Lord or never experienced him. But we are to pray. We are to pray for them because they're in a situation where Satan has blinded their eyes. And the choices that they're making, you know, they're not godly choices because their eyes are blinded to the truth of God's word. So we are to be diligent. We're to be like the watchman on the wall, to pray for them diligent, just as Peter, when they were praying for Peter, they prayed for him diligently, you know, and until God answered. And that's the way we pray for family members, our children, our family members, or others we know that are not saved, or that's going through any kind of battle or struggle or going through illness or sickness, disease. But we're to constantly keep them before the Lord until God answers prayer. So I would suggest to you, get a book, or even if you don't want to get a bound book, get a notepad, write it down, write names down, those that need prayer and what you're praying for them and interceding for them for. Write it down and begin to pray for them daily. And as you pray and intercede for them daily, you're going to begin to have to mark their name off the list because God is going to answer the prayer as you continually intercede for them. And I tell you, if you have children that are not walking with the Lord, continually pray for them. Continually keep them before the Lord. Continually intercede for them. Because the Word of God tells us in Proverbs 11:21, the latter part of that scripture tells us that the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. So you have children that are unsaved, you know, and some of them just maybe know better and know the word of God and just chose to walk in disobedience. You can stand on that scripture because God is faithful and God will honor his word. So we're to stand for one another. When people can't pray for their own selves, those that may be ill, hospitalized, they may not can speak, but we can stand, we can intercede and stand in the gap for them, for God to move on their behalf. Okay. As we stand, we just continually to speak the word of God as we pray and stand in the gap and remind God of his word, because God says to put him in remembrance of his word. And when we put God in remembrance of his word, we put him in remembrance of his word. And when we put him in remembrance of his word, he will honor his word, because he's not a man that he should lie or come short of his promise. So let's go to 1 Timothy 2 and 14. I'm sorry, saying 2:14. I meant 1:4. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let's begin at verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that they may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Praise God. So God's not willing that any should perish. And this is all the more that we should stand in the gap for others. Okay, because it's number one, hell was not created for mankind. Hell was created for Satan. And it was not created for people, because God is not willing that any should perish or any be lost. He is not willing. And he said here that it's his will that all be saved. But it's up to us to make the choice for our lives. And if we see someone, they're not making the right choice of being saved, we are to intercede for them, like the word of God says. And we're to intercede for them. We're to intercede for all those in authority. That means our president, governors, mayors, police officers, judges, police chiefs, anyone in any type of authority. We are to intercede for them. And this is a part two lesson, and we're going to get involved more on next week. We're going to continue, and we're going to get more into more in depth with prayer, intercession, and standing in the gap. Okay, so I'm just about out of time, and I would like to remind you on tonight at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, we have Evangelist Janie Branch, which she's on the Spirit Alive Network at Prayer Changes Things. So you want to come over and spend time in prayer and intercession, there is Evangelist Janie there at 7 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. So I would just like to thank you all once again, all the listeners and all those that are tuned in wherever you at. If you're in the chat room or the studio, praise God wherever you at. So, and just remember, 1 John 5:4, Whoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I've been your host, Evangelist Joyce Carpenter, and thank you once again for tuning in. And from all of us here at the Spirit Alive Network, until next time, be ye transformed. Have a blessed evening and good night.